don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet. I did my best, now I'm scared to death that we might lose everything. And when a sickness takes my child away, and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord.
In the eye of the storm, amen and amen. Can you give me an amen for a mic check to make sure this thing's working? Because there's been a lot of storms going on as of late. So how about y'all? Y'all doing okay tonight? Oh, apparently it ain't working now. Hello? Can anybody hear me? Hello? I figured that, yeah. Well, please somebody, you're making me think when no one responds and no one's here, and so I was fixing to go ahead and shut this down, go ahead and reboot and all that stuff. I'm like, oh man, come on now. What else is new, you know? So there's been some storms going on lately, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, there's been a lot going on with me, you know, and I'm pretty sure all you can really relate to this, but, you know, it's like, you know, this week and last week has been quite a few. One is one time I lost my real reading glasses, so it's hard to see. Even though these are the old ones I had before I upgraded to the new ones, I can basically see, you know, but it's not crystal clear. But, you know, again, I lost those glasses. They cost about $400 to get a brand new pair, which I'm going to end up getting an appointment, but probably ain't going to be till sometime next month because they said they all booked up. So, you know, it was bad, but, you know, I didn't worry about it too much. And then I decided to go out and cut grass. I think it was the following day, you know, I was at a lady's house, and I saw when I was cutting grass, she has a bunch of trees hanging up there in the trees, and her kids was on it. She was worrying about them big limbs falling down on the kids. So I told her I'd come back and I'd go ahead and take care of them, which I did. Well, lo and behold, you know, hooking up a big rope to the trees, trying to yank them down out of the top of the trees on my lawnmower. I was worried about if it went the other way, it dragged my lawnmower up in the tree. I don't know if it could have, which would have weighed more heavier. I didn't know. But I wasn't paying attention. I had my head turned, driving forward, trying to watch those branches. Didn't realize I was running over a very expensive chainsaw. Broke the handle, tore that thing up. Had all kind of branches hanging, all kind of stuff in that lady's yard. I had to go, and you know, I didn't have the money to do it, which I had money in the account, but I really didn't need that kind of a hit. You know, on top, I got to go get glasses because that money was going to my glasses. The cheapest chainsaw I can find, because there's a shortage of chainsaws, was around $500. So, you know, it's been one storm after another. You know, it's kind of ironic. I was telling my dear friend Lisa, and I told my wife this the other night, I think either I'm going to change the titles of my messages from now on or not preach at all. Because it seems like whenever I preach something, I go through it. Or if I'm going to preach something, I will endure it. You know, so it just seems so ironic that this message here tonight is basically about storms in life. So, if I should ask you this question, can you remember a storm in your life which you were challenged in your faith? Can you remember recently a storm that you faced in your life that challenged your faith? perhaps, maybe, challenged in your beliefs about different aspects of a Christian life, we all, I think, could stand and raise our hands and say yes. The issue is, do we know how to respond to them? So no matter what storms that we face in our lives, the issue is, folks, do we know how to respond to them? Do we know how to respond to them in a way that we come out victorious and stronger as the results of the storm? Do we? And I think that if God allows a storm in your life, that his ultimate purpose is to bring you out stronger. I firmly believe that, folks. I think God's purpose in the storms that we face in life, just like the song we just listened to, I firmly believe that his ultimate grand scheme of things is to make you and I stronger through those storms. Now, I'm not saying he sends every storm. I'm not saying that, okay? Because many storms are a result of sins in our lives. So I'm not saying that he sends us many storms because they are a result of sins in our life. Please, I used to have some people used to kind of put words in my mouth. I'm not saying that. You know, whenever we face storms, a lot of people, you know, will think, well, what's causing a storm? Well, most times it is a result of sin. It is. But not all the time. But there's a reason for every storm that we face in our lives. All of us, including me, including you, including the online listeners who's listening to this audio recording later, I guarantee you can relate to this. All of us has experienced storms in our lives. Those occasions that brings pain, suffering, or loss, it's in turbulent times that all sorts of questions come to mind whenever you're facing these storms. And these questions pop into your mind like, well, where's God in all this? Why has this happened? Was it something that I did? Did God cause it? If so, why? Folks, the only safe place to go for answers in turbulent times and storms is in God's Word. The only safe place for you to get your answers is in God's words whenever you are facing different storms in your life. If you got your Bible, follow along with this. Lisa, my dear friend, will post these scriptures for you. Our reading scriptures for tonight is John chapter 16, verse 33. Look what it says. And you know, that's why I'm telling you, whenever you're facing things in your life, go to the Word of God for your answers. Don't go to YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, The View or whatever, or some kind of TV show of this, folks. Look, if you want answers, go to the Word of God. Scriptures will show you the way, just like what John 16:33 says. It says that, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. Thank you for allowing us to gather together here tonight. And Father, you know, I know sometimes that I'm kind of throwing little jabs out there and wondering, hey, you know, should I do this message or not? You know, it seems like every time I'm led to a message, I have to live it or go through it or experience it or whatever. And sometimes it is difficult, Lord. Sometimes it's really a 1-2 punch that seems to, you know, take the wind out of you. But, you know, recently in the last few issues that I have encountered, you know, I am or have noticed something. I wasn't upset. Generally in the past, I kind of got all dismayed and generally I got all upset and went off my rockers and everything else. But I don't, well, I shouldn't say I don't understand, but I do understand that RZA really wasn't upset. Now, I didn't need that, but you know what's best, and I'm okay with that. And Father, I ask you for those who are here tonight, you know, whenever we are facing difficulties in our lives and facing storms, that give us the wisdom, the calmness, the peace, to handle these storms in the correct way. Give us the guidance to face the storms that whenever we face them. Sometimes, yes, we do ask the question. Sometimes we wonder, how come? What's the deal? Why? And I know we need to trust in you. I know we need to look forward to you. I know we need to rest in you, because again, your son tells us to rest in him. He's got it covered. But sometimes, Father, I'm not going to make an excuse of this. We're human. You know it. You know we are. But we can rest assured, whatever the outcome may be, is generally for your good. Some people may not agree with that statement. I understand that. But again, all we can do is just trust you. Father, bless those who are here tonight. We have a dear friend here tonight. She's dealing with migraine headaches. None of us has the power to heal. As much as people out there in this world claim they are healers, well, no, I'm sorry. You are the ultimate one that heals. We're just instruments. So I ask of you to reach into Denise's body. Reach into the pain that she's dealing with. And remove those migraines from her that she's dealing with. And Father, help her with the new jobs and the situation and the travel and transportations and everything else. She needs your help. She needs your guidance. She needs the direction. And I'm sure, again, whenever we're facing these difficulties and storms, that, again, we're just going to have to trust you that you're going to work these things out. So I know that you're going to heal her. When? That's up to you. That's in your hands. But we're going to make this petition. And we got Lisa and Fred who is here, whatever they are dealing with, whatever encounters they are going through, or difficulties they are facing, or whatever the issue may be, help them also. And why? As for the others who don't seem like they want to join us anymore, Lord, I just don't know. But you deal with them in your own way. We thank you again for giving us the opportunity to gather together. We thank you for all your love, all your kindness. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of sending your son, Jesus. Father, we want to praise you from our hearts and from our minds and from our lips. We want to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And y'all get the title because, again, the bot flashes it, you know. And that's why I like to do it, because we do have some newcomers is in the room. I was kind of talking to my friend the other day. I just don't understand why they go through so much effort to go through all the security checks, to go through all the pre-server entries or whatever you want to call it, and do everything there is to do to get in here. But once they're in here, psst, bam. And that's it, nothing of them. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, I can't comprehend it. But anyway, y'all seen the titles called Facing the Storms of Life. And trust me, I faced a few of them within the past several weeks. But I want you to know something all of us needs to understand. I want you to know something that all of us, including me, we need to understand. Storms will come into our lives, and when they do, we have to learn how to adjust to the storms in our lives, because they are going to keep coming. That's a fact. There is no ifs, no buts, no doubts. We're going to have to face the facts to adjust to the storms, because again, they are going to keep coming. It's always been that way, has been that way. It's been that way since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And it will be always that way until the day Jesus himself comes for us. We got to face the fact. What we need to do is learn how to adjust. And I want you to understand the foundation, which I'm fixing to get into. I want you to understand the foundation for understanding the storms of life. And like I said earlier, it is found in scriptures. How so? Look at Psalms chapter 103, verse 19. Clear-cut case. Look what it says, that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. This is why I'm trying to use these scriptures to help you see and understand why we are facing storms in life. And again, look in Psalms chapter 107, verse 25 through 31. I love this part here. And it says this. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. Whew, that's some big waves, folks. And it went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were their wits in. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desire haven. Let them thank the Lord for this steadfast love and for his wondrous work to the children of Matt. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Now, when you think about this and you look at this passage and the few I just gave you, I'm trying to lay down a basic foundation. What we need to understand, that's why I said, when you're facing things in life, especially storms, go to scriptures. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to trusted friends who's very strong into the word too. But even those trusted friends sometimes may lead you astray, but yet we don't trust them 100%. I'm not saying don't trust your friends, but trust God. But a lot of us, we go through storms, and whenever we talk with other people, we can relate because, you know, one time or another, I guarantee all of us has probably been in that situation before. So, go to scriptures. But with this part right here, what this is doing, this gives a descriptive example of a literal storm and provides insights to the Lord's role in the various storms that comes our way. And the scene is this. You know, just try to picture this in your mind. It's a ship at sea battling the winds and the waves. And in the midst of misery and helplessness, the sailors, what they do, they call out for God's help. And he brings them out of their distress by calming the storm and safely guiding them to their desired haven. Now, when you look at this scripture right here and you read all through it and you read the description of it, you notice in response, they thank the Lord for his love, kindness, and wondrous deliverance, and they praise him to the people. Now, I think sometimes whenever we're facing storms, do we praise God to the people whenever we face them? I think, again, we can stand because I guarantee probably a lot of times we don't. We don't think about it. We're just focused on the storm. We're focused on the problem. See, these folks were facing a storm. God came through. They praised him to the people. Boy, that's something we need to, you know, start to learn how to do. But see, they thanked God for his love, kindness, and his wondrous deliverance, and they were praising the people. But now here's the question. And you look at this passage right here, and I had to look at it a little bit hard, because like what we do on our Bible studies on Thursday nights. I expound on his word, and I'm looking what I call the who, why, when's, and where, and everything else. The question here, in all of this, and all of the storms, and all the trials these guys were facing, was God in the storm? Boy, I kind of like, was God in the storm? I had to take a pause on this. I had like, wait a minute here. Hold on. You know, and I had to keep rereading this, and I had to keep looking at it. And I kept looking at it and reading the commentaries and reading my study guides and everything. Was God in the storm? Well, folks, according to verse 25, if you read it, look what it says. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. So the answer to that question is yes. God was there in the storm. Because he raised up the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. So what this drew me to, and this is what the conclusion I saw out of this, sometimes, and here, listen to this carefully, I will speak a little slower because I do have a weird accent. I'm an old Cajun boy, but I was actually born and raised in Los Angeles, California. But sometimes the Lord interrupts our lives by sending turbulence. Really? Yes. Sometimes the Lord interrupts our lives by sending us turbulence. But on other occasions, folks, we create the chaotic conditions in our sinful choices. In other words, by our sinful actions, we are the ones at the times creating the storm that we are facing. So, God sometimes brings storms into our lives because he's in it for some particular reason. Other times, it's because of something that we have done. Think about that one. See, our troubles could also be the results of a natural occurrence. It could be. No matter what the source, ultimately, God is in every situation because his sovereignty rules over all. Now, with that and getting that picture into your mind and laying out this foundation, here's what I want us to understand, folks. There are three kinds of storms you and I can relate to. Three kinds of storms that you and I can relate to. And here they are. The first one is what I call natural storms. Natural storms. Basically, they are hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, bad weather, you name it. They fall into that category. The second kind of storms that we know of are emotional storms. Emotional storms. And let me tell you something right now, and I'm speaking from my own experience. These are often worse than physical storms. You can agree with me or not. You know, I'm not here to try to prove nothing to you. But to me, folks, emotional storms are often worse than physical ones. And they include the following situations, such as poor health, financial struggles, or the economic downturns, or the loss of a job, or not having a job, or a challenge to find a job. And it challenges us to believe the Bible and trust God for comfort and all that. And it challenges us to go to him and seek his support, to ask of him to provide for us, but then we have to play the waiting game, as I mentioned in last week's sermon. Waiting. Having patience. Or the other emotional one that sometimes we face a lot, relationship difficulties. Many marriages face them. Many relationships with loved ones face them. Stormy conditions in the homes or feelings of rejection can cause us a lot of stress, and it can grind away at your heart. It does. The third type of storms that we can kind of understand is what I call, and we all deal with those too, spiritual storms. That's right, folks, spiritual storms. And they are caused by disobeying God and choosing our way on our own, which results in what I call spiritual turbulence as the Holy Spirit convicts us. You see what I'm getting at? When we start to disobey God by choosing our own way, it results in a spiritual turbulence. That's when the Holy Spirit starts to convict us, to let us know, and he's sounding the alarm saying, hey, you're not doing it the way you're supposed to be doing it. And that's why we have those turbulence. See, being outside of his will, what it does, it changes our conduct. It changes our conversation. It changes our character. It's making us at odds with what the Lord wants us to be. That's why when the Holy Spirit is doing that, and that's why whenever we are doing something by disobeying God, when we know, and we was talking about that last night in our Bible study about the law of God, because the lawgiver, the Holy Spirit, the one who's in us, he's the one who's instructing us to say, hello, you're doing wrong, you're disobeying, you're getting out of line, and all of a sudden when you start doing that and you try to ignore that, then all of a sudden, guess what? Your conduct starts to change, and then your conversation starts to change, and then your character starts to change, because you are at odds with the true and only Holy God, and that's his Holy Spirit. He's trying to tell you, look, hello, you know, if you keep dabbling with that, if you keep doing this and you keep going that way, you're going to be in trouble. But some folks, they ignore it. No, I'm going to deal with this thing my way. I had enough. I'm tired of waiting. I got no patience. By doing that, that's where the spiritual storms comes in. Now, in knowing those three types of storms, the question could be, what are the source of our storms? You ever thought about that? I hadn't until I was trying to piecemeal this together. Have you ever really given it any clear thought, what is the source of your storm that you may be facing or went through? Or fixing to go through. You see, I got a dear friend of mine. I love him. I call him Ma and Pa. You know, they're the sweet, loving Christian people. And me and my wife, we do call him Ma and Pa. We talk to him a lot. But I love how Ma says this. And this is why I nicknamed her that. She says, Jimbo, you're a young man. And I was a young man back then. But she says, I'm going to give you a little advice in your spiritual walk. And in your ministry. I don't want to discourage you, but hang on to these facts because they are true. Either you are going to face a storm, or you are going through a storm, or you just came out of a storm. That's the facts of life in a Christian walk. Never end the cycle. As I said earlier, you heard me when I said earlier, they're going to keep coming no matter what. So the sooner you start to grasp and understand, okay, you know what? I hear what Brother Jim is saying, then I'm going to get used to it because they're going to happen. I can't avoid them. They will come. But now I have to change my attitude of how will I adjust to the storm. Like I said, when I lost those glasses, yeah, my stomach was sick because without glasses, I can't read. I'm blind as a bat. I walked the road looking for them, but I wasn't upset. Even when I wrecked that chainsaw. Look, I didn't have the money to really go buy it, but I wasn't upset. And me and my wife was talking. I said, baby, there's more changes that's happened. She says, why is that? So generally in the past, whenever I'm facing a storm, I got a little upset. This time I'm not. So whenever you're in a storm, think about what is the source of that storm. Now, here I put together a little list. They could be this. And this is what, based on my experience, and maybe you can relate with me on this. Maybe you have understood this and you kind of know where the source of the storm is coming from. But there are several things, and they are, the first thing is ourselves. That's right, folks. Sometimes we are the source of our storms. Meaning, we can bring troubles on ourselves within willful disobedience against God. And as a result, we may become fearful or anxious. Feel distance from God. We have a tendency to blame others. Become useless for God's work. Or even at times, ruin our testimony. The other source that could be for our storms could be the devil. That's right, folks. Another source of our storms could be the devil himself. And yes, Satan himself can create a storm through temptations like David's sin that was recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And this is what David did. And look what happened to him, you know, when you read that. And at least the poster for it, because I wasn't going to read it. But you see, I think all of us knows what happened in this story. I think all of us knows what went on when David was in this part. And this is why I'm saying the devil done this, folks. Because, again, what was happening here, David was where he shouldn't have been. Plain and simple. David was where he shouldn't have been. When his army went to battle, David stayed at home instead of taking his place with the troops. And because of that, he saw what he should not have seen as he walked on his rooftop. He saw a woman bathing. So instead of turning away, he kept looking. He kept looking. And what happened? His look turned to lust. So he sent after her. Then his lust gave birth to an act of sin. In other words, David was in the wrong place at the wrong time, with the wrong look, with wrong thoughts, and the power to act on his lust. So the end result was a pregnancy, a continuous course of sinful actions. You read the rest of the chapter, we know that David just went into one sin after another, including murder. And because of that, it was painful consequences he had to face that lasted him a lifetime. And folks, I know some people get a little squeamish whenever I say these things, but I say it a lot when I'm talking to people. Sometimes the consequences of our sins do come later and we got to pay for them. We may not pay for it now, but sometimes there are consequences to our actions. So sometimes the devil knows us better than ourselves. He'll throw out something at you like that. The third source of our storms could be, are you ready for this? If I had my sound effects, ding, 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 ding. The third source of our storms could be God. We just learned that in previous passages. We learned that when God raised up those waves. And yes, my friends, sometimes the Lord brings storms into our lives for his divine purpose. Although at times they are very painful, God is motivated by his love for us. He is motivated by his love for us. So now understanding the source of our storms. Three things, and I probably could add more to it, but those, I kind of think of three of the common things that we can rely as a source of our storms. So here's the question that we need to ask because of this. All right, Jim, you're kind of giving me an insight to the source of our storms. Okay, so here's the question. Why does God allow storms into our lives? Why does God allow storms into our lives? I saw Beth just popped in. Well, she just took a tumble down the stairs the other day. Was that a storm? I don't know. Could have been. Maybe not. Denise is saying growth. Okay, that's a good one there too. But I'm going to list for you several reasons why God allows storms into our lives. First reason that he allows storms into our lives. I put this one at the top of my list. First reason he allows the storms in your life. To get our attention. That's right, folks. God allows a storm in our lives to get our attention. You see, the Lord speaks quietly to us in our hearts. But if we don't pay attention, he will raise that volume up by sending a storm into our lives. Here, crank that volume full blast. He does it out of love. He reproves us to protect us from destroying ourselves or others with our disobedience. And sometimes when that volume is pumped up, folks, we do not listen to God. We try to tune them out. Nope. You can try all you want. He's still going to get your attention. The second reason that God allows storms into our lives. Jim, you didn't have to go this route. Sorry, folks, but yes, I do. To bring us to repentance. So if we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing or whatever and all that stuff, and we're not repenting, I promise you, a storm's going to come. And when you realize, oh Lord, I had not confessed this to you, we repent. So God, at that process, what he would do at this time, he uses what I call a literal storm to affect us. Here's one right here. God himself used a literal storm to draw Jonah to repentance. We know that story too. And although the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, hey, you need to go to Nineveh and preach to those folks to cry against their wickedness, what did Jonah do? This cat boarded a ship to flee tarnish from the presence of the Lord. He was running away. Bull, I ain't doing this. No way, Jose. I'm hopping on this boat and I'm getting out of here. But folks, let me tell you something. No one can avoid God. No one. Since he's present everywhere. God's everywhere. So you can't run from him. You can't hide from him. You can go in caves under a rock, behind a tree, in a shed, whatever. You can't hide from him. See, when Jonah got on a boat, he went down to that cargo hold of the ship. You know, hey, I'm just going to chill out here because nobody's going to know I'm here. And what the Lord did, we read it in Psalms. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Whoo, wow. He sent a great wind on the sea. And all the sailors started calling out to their gods, hoping that one of them would intervene. Probably must have been about 15, 20 sailors. They all were crying out to their gods. Hey, maybe one of our gods is real. You got a god? Pray to your god. Hey, you got a god? You pray to your god. Hey, you got a god? Hey, pray to your god. Maybe one of them's real. He's going to hear us. They was hoping one of them would intervene. And when that wasn't happened, hey, okay, well, look, let's cast lots. Let's see which one of them was to blame for the storm. Okay, well, none of our gods is answered, so we're going to blame one of y'all. Hello? Me and Lisa was talking about that a little bit earlier about how Adam tried blaming the woman when he sinned. But see, they cast lots to see who to blame. And just so happened, the lot fell on Jonah. Well, you can imagine probably the look on that dude's face. He had foolishly tried to flee from God by leaving the land and going to the sea, and both which were created and controlled by him. So in order to save the ship, here's Jonah now in his bright mind. Well, I'm still going to deal with this my way. I'm going to still get out of this. Watch. He said, hey, I got a solution for y'all guys. See, Jonah told them, hey, you know what? Throw me overboard and your problems will be okay. And when they did, the raging storm ceased. And although Jonah tried to escape from the Lord, remember what I said in that early verse that we read? God was with him. Well, God never left Jonah. Even in the sea, Jonah figured he had it made. He was going to be in the sea. He was going to drown. He was going to be dead. And that was going to be it. Well, lo and behold, he was rescued. Oh, yeah, he was rescued all right. He was rescued by a great fish that swallowed him up. Now you figure, well, I get eaten by a fish, all the digestion of the belly, I'm still dead. Didn't happen. Eventually, he was vomited up onto land. You know, I know it's a bad word to use. So he made his way back to Nineveh to preach the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him to do, to preach repentance. And yet then, when you see the rest of that story, that's why I love it, folks. Even though all the people repented, Jonah himself still resented the fact that the people repented and would no longer be judged for their evil ways. We had a conversation about that Wednesday night. If someone came to God, are their past sins forgiven? And there's some people out there that cannot accept that. Well, I'm sorry, folks. When you come to the Lord, any sins that prior to that, it's forgiven. It's gone. Wiped away. Clean. And that's why Jonah got upset, because, again, they relented. They repented. They turned to God. And Jonah was mad because, wait a minute, no, you're going to be judged. Well, see, in the same way that we bring trouble upon ourselves when we try to run away from God, yet like Jonah, we'll discover again, that God is always with us, even in our disobedience. His desire is that we repent and turn to him. That's God's desire. The third thing of why God sends storms into our lives, I love this one, to conform us to Jesus' image, to conform us to Christ's image. You see, God's willing to break us. Can we relate? Have we been broken before? I'm just speaking truth for me. Yeah, I have. God is willing to break us and cause suffering in order to glorify himself by making us like Jesus. The fourth reason why sometimes a storm is sent into our lives, and this is a good one here, like Jonah, is to equip us for his service. To equip us for his service. And see, having suffered through painful storms, folks, look, we come out better equipped to help others. That's right. You and I become better equipped to help someone else who is dealing with the storm. Because you may have went through it. And you can relate to it. And you empathize with those folks. I understand. I understand. And the fifth reason that God sends storms into our lives, and this is another great one here, to demonstrate his power in our lives. That's right, folks, to demonstrate his power in my life, your life, and everybody else. See, God powerfully uses the situation you are facing to make us more useful than we were before. Because whenever we go through a storm, we learn. There's a lesson in all the storms. And that makes us better and useful than we were before. The sixth reason why God allows storms into our lives, and this is the really good one, all of them are good, to reveal himself to us. See, turbulent times gives you and I a new perspective on the Lord and how he works. And sometimes this comes after the storm, during the storm, and sometimes before the storm. But when we look back at it, after we done endured that storm, when we look back and reflect upon it and be honest and say, okay, what did I learn in this storm? What did I learn in this lesson? We look back and see how he brought us through it. Y'all know the song, Through It All. I love that song. But whenever we are dealing with any storms in our lives, once we have gone through it, we look back on and see how God was there the whole time, how he brought us through it. We may not see it right away. We may not see it when we're enduring the storms. But when you really think about it and reflect on it, you see God was with me the whole time. It's just my mind was not. Then we understand better that his strength was sufficient for us and his purpose was good. The seventh reason that a storm comes into our lives, to demonstrate his love. That's right, folks. Once we understand that God's thoughts and ways are so much higher than ours, we realize then that any storm he brings is motivated by his love. And the eighth reason and the final reason why storms come into our lives, and this is the best one of all, folks. I had to put this one last. One. I could have put it first, but I want this one last. The eighth reason why God sends storms into our lives, to remind us who is in control. To remind us who is in control. Because his knowledge is complete, God never makes mistakes. Nothing happens in our lives without his permissive will. Do you get that? Nothing happens in our lives without his permissive will. His good purpose, mighty power, and unfailing love always, always governs the storms that comes our way. Always. I hope this spoken to you. Listeners, I hope that you are listening to this sermon all the way through. I know some people start it and they just kind of stop it. Well, I heard enough. I hope that you are listening and you are at this point. As I said earlier, how do you usually respond to the storms in your life? How do you usually respond to the storms in your life? How does it make you feel knowing that God is in ultimate control? And as you look back on past storms, on what the Lord has taught you about himself and his ways, and when everything comes around us unglued and falls apart, whenever we don't see no answer, let me say this, there's one place to go. One place you and I can go whenever we are facing all these storms, whenever we're looking back on those storms. On your knees. On your knees. In the Word of God, trusting him. Yes, folks, many of you are going through storms, even as you listen to this message here tonight, or even if you're listening to this message now, you're going through storms. or just went through one, or fixing to go in one. Now, you might be thinking, Jim, that's not a very good outlook, sir, if you're telling me I'm fixing to go into a storm. Look, I told you at the beginning of the message, they're going to keep coming. They're never going to stop, ever. One day, when we breathe the last, we got our glorified body, and we're standing eyeball to eyeball looking at Jesus and seeing him for what he truly is. They will end. But while we're here on earth, these storms will continue. Maybe, just maybe, you're in a storm on your job. Maybe there's a storm in your marriage. A storm in your relationship with a loved one. Storm with your kids. Storm with your parents. A storm with your physical being. A storm in your finances. Folks, they all come from different sources. They all come from different sources. One thing we all need to know. One thing we all need to know. The calmer of our storm is the Lord and Savior. And he can calm any of the storms you face in life. Why? Very simple. Because he listens. Because he listens. He will solidify your position in your relationship with him because he listens. And if you get anything out of this message tonight, or if you're listening to this message right now, if you get anything out of this message, I want you to remember one thing, as you face life's storms, is Jesus is with you. One thing, whenever you're facing a storm, Jesus is with you. You're not alone. You're not. Don't ever feel that way. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He'll never leave you hanging. And rather than us focus on the problems, here's the key to how would be a better word to use it? Here's the key to really how to handle the storm. Rather than focus on our problems, let's do this. I told Lisa this the other day. I think it was yesterday or whatever. I can't remember. Instead of focusing on problems, let us focus on the promise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Focus on his promise. Focus on the Word of God. Don't focus on the situation. Don't focus on the storm. Don't focus on the trials. Don't focus on the tribulations. Focus on Jesus Christ. Listen. He will make your way clear. He will give you a sense of confidence and boldness and assurance that you can stand anything that comes your way if you're truly obedient to God. Listen, he can help you calm that storm. Amen. Let's pray.